If we do not shift attention back to where it should have been after September 11th, we face the prospect of the following scenario by 2007. A Taliban-like government in Pakistan, armed with nuclear weapons, supporting a similar satellite nation next door in Afghanistan, and promoting al-Qaeda-like ideology and terror throughout the world. In the Gulf, a nuclear-armed Iran, promoting its own version of Hezbollah-styled ideology. And Saudi Arabia, after the fall of the House of Saud, creating its own version of a 14th-century theocratic republic. Under those circumstances, even if we had created a Jeffersonian democracy in Iraq, America and the world would still be vastly less secure. Moreover, it appeared early in 2004 that Iraq would be shaped more by the thoughts of Shia leader Ayatollah Sistani than by Jefferson. September 11th brought both tragedy all too painful and an opportunity unexpected. There was an opportunity to unite people around the world around a set of shared values: religious tolerance, diversity, freedom, and security. We squandered the opportunity. Many around the world also feared that the world's only remaining superpower would lash out, destabilizing nations and regions. America, after all, spends more money on its weapons and military than the next seven nations combined. Would a system that tolerated such spending act like a muscle-bound cowboy, or, as the French feared, a hyperpower? Many in the Muslim world feared that America would, despite its promises, strike out against Islamic regimes and make Professor Sam Huntington's clash of cultures theory a self-fulfilling prophecy. Our leadership fell into the trap, fulfilling all of the worst fears of many around the world and here at home. Rather than seek to cultivate a unified global consensus to destroy the ideological roots of terrorism, we did, in fact, lash out in a largely unilateral and entirely irrelevant military adventure against a Muslim nation. It has left us less secure.